Okay, roll call, please.
President Pease?
Here.
Vice President Leet?
Here.
Director Graves, absent. Director Simon?
Here.
Director Steele?
Here.
Absent.
Here's Director Graves.
Director Graves has arrived.
Director Steele.
5:30. Director Steele?
Director Steele's left.
No response?
Been a week?
For what?
I sent you an email about it.
At this point, I'd like to open up.
I'm just sending my associate, and I'll show it to you.
Seeing no public comment, we'll close the public comment and go. This is an open session disclosure of that we're going to adjourn into closed session per government code 2x4957.7. Leet, please.
Town of Discovery Bay Board of Directors are adjourning into closed session per item D1 listed on the agenda.
Okay, we're going to reconvene from a closed session and legal.
Town of Discovery Board of Directors is returning from closed session, no reportable action.
Meeting is adjourned. We'll reconvene a regular meeting at 7 o'clock. A clock behind us, so we got to start punctually right on time. Okay, the behavior's off at 7 o'clock. Oh, there it is. Okay, I'm going to call the meeting of Town of Discovery Bay Community Service District to order. And can we join Director Steele?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
President Pease?
Here.
Vice President Leet?
Here.
Director Graves?
Here.
Director Simon?
Here.
Director Steele?
Here.
Okay, at this time, we're going to open up to public comments. The public can speak to us on anything that is not on our agenda. We have a 3-minute time limit, which will be indicated up here by the light. And so at this point, do we have any public comments? Yes. Yeah, please come forward to the podium and identify yourself, as we're recording, so we want to have a
Hi, my name is Cheryl
Fayou.
I've got very I live on Beaver Lane, and I just wanted to address the board that there's a lot of people in our neighborhood among Beaver Lane. We have a new vacation rental by owner that is taking over the street and the bay, and they have 30 people about every weekend, and we can't even park in our front yards. We just don't feel safe. They're using our trash cans. They're loud all day long, all night long. And, you know, we hate to keep calling the sheriffs, but, you know, it's what's going to happen. And I'm understanding that it is illegal, so I just kind of wanted to find out, you know, kind of what the status is on closing these down. This certain line started in June, and it's pretty much booked every week and every weekend until September. So that's just my concern, and I'm representing a lot of people. They told me just to come in, and they'll also come. They need to be heard also.
Unfortunately, we don't have any jurisdiction over that. There was a homeowners association, and the membership voted to disband, and that would have been the legal remedy. So I think the only remedy would be
county
code enforcement, and also the sheriff. I think the sheriff, I'll let him speak to that one at his chance. I don't think he's going to call the sheriff too much.
I would contact the county supervisor, Mary Pico, over and let her staff know what's going on and get her involved in that. She's a resident here at Discovery Bay, so she's definitely concerned about the right things happening here. I don't know the legalities of it, I'm just saying that's a direction I would go if I were you.
Yeah, she's the one that said to come today to talk about it.
Okay.
We're bouncing her back to her. She has land.
But are they going to, the sheriff can talk about it too?
He's pointing at you right now.
I was going to say, I got Sergeant Briggs here, and I want to go with him.
You want to do it one-on-one or?
Yeah, no, one-on-one in the back would be fine. That'd be great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for bringing that to our attention.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Is there any other public comment? Yes, ma'am.
I just want to know, can I speak to this?
to the sheriff also in the back?
That'd be fine if you have something for him. He'd probably be very happy to keep you back there. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Any other public comments?
Yeah, hi, my name is Jerry Simons. I have some problems or concerns with Cornell Park at the upkeep of it. There's a lot of cement walkways that's been cracked. A handrail's been falling down or the fence around. A lot of the trees, when they get watered, fill up with water for mosquitoes. There's ponds out in the middle there. There's trees that have fallen over and the stubs are sticking right up, where if somebody was to fall on them, they'd go right through it. I have pictures of everything here. I don't know who I'd give them to.
You just gave to the appropriate person.
Yeah. I just think that the park is really being neglected. I noticed all the trees here are nice and trimmed and cut. Somebody just went by last week and did some trimming. They did a good job, and they left everything on the ground that they trimmed. Some of the trees. So that's what I have to say.
All right. Well, thank you very much. We'll talk to staff and see what we can do to help remedy some of those situations.
And I second it.
Okay. Thank you. Any other public comments? Yes.
Hello. My name is George Melendez. I'm a resident for 12 years. I'm here to address our tennis facility here. Where the local residents play here in the morning, and we've noticed the last 2 months we've had the USTA, which is a tennis association that manages teams. They have started to use the facilities, which we're okay with. The tennis group is okay with that. We just want to make sure that the residents come first for the tennis. We normally have the hours from 8 to noon, and we've been, some of us have been there for 10, 20 years. So I understand that I might be assuming, but some of the private clubs have a lot of tennis teams, and they realize that our community has some great space for tennis. You know, we currently have 6 courts, so they're starting to build teams here. I would think that maybe 3/4 of the folks come from outside of Scottsdale, which is, like I said, it's not a problem. We just want to make sure that the local residents are not forgotten while the community partners with the USTA. The only other comment I wanted to make, if we're going to start promoting tennis with the USTA, we're having a lot of outside people coming in here. We would ask if maybe they would wash the courts once a week, and maybe put up some umbrellas so people don't overheat. And that's all. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your comments. I think staff has we have a registration system for courts or something along that line.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, there's a board policy which says that if someone wants to reserve a court, they need to pay for it. And it's a relatively small amount. There's a fee for resident and there is a fee for non-resident. Currently, I believe there are 4 teams that have been registered as Discovery Bay teams, and they were all registered by Discovery Bay residents. However, we don't ask for a roster. So some of them I know, I actually played on one of the ladies' teams last year. It was predominantly Discovery Bay residents. There were a few that were not. There may be other cases that may be the opposite, but because we don't check addresses on rosters, I wouldn't know that. But they were all registered by Discovery Bay residents. There were 4 of them this fiscal year.
Okay. we have a process where when someone wants to use the court, it's more of just a walk on if they're not being used, you use it, or do you have to check in at the at our front desk?
There's no check-in that's required in order to access the tennis courts. And the courts are available as a drop-in. If anyone wishes to get a guarantee of the court, the board policy is that you can reserve it, and it is $5 an hour per court.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. My name's Art Benton. I built my house here in 1977, so I've been here for a while. And the thing that I want to bring up is the tennis. And it looks like we're on the road to solving this problem, which is very good. As I said in my letter, which you should have gotten a copy of, there was confusion in the past several weeks when a large number of people showed up and indicated that they had reserved the court and that the residents had to leave. And so I think that's being resolved. The only thing that I could add to what George said and Chris is, are you, maybe we talked on the phone, I don't know.
We did talk, and I think we're meeting tomorrow.
Yes, okay.
Okay.
And we're scheduled to meet tomorrow. That the policy be made more clear, because we don't really know what the policies are for using the courts. I don't know about the rest of the facility, but who can reserve when and so forth. So that would be the only thing that I would add to what's been said already. Well, but it was an issue. And it's an issue where some ugliness begins. One owner here in Discovery Bay said to them, we should call the sheriff and let the sheriff decide who's going to play on these courts. That's not the way we want to do business.
No. I think after your meeting tomorrow, everything will be perfectly clear.
Yeah, I think it will work out.
Okay, thank you. Any other public comment?
Chris has got
this. Yes, sir.
Familiar face again, sorry. Been here for the last 4 months. Seen a great change in the vehicular enforcement on Boulevard. And as I understand, it's probably going on Newport as well. And I think that's great. I live on Discovery Point. It's about a mile and a quarter long. It is a raceway. That was my initial complaint, and it still is a complaint. There are numerous drivers and their residents that continue to just drive down that street at 40 plus miles an hour. And I don't know what I'm gonna do, but keep coming. This, I believe, is my fourth month in a row now to say the same thing over and over and over again. I don't know what to do. I mean, it's not like it's a small street, but it's a mile and a quarter long. So it is a major thoroughfare, although it's not the boulevard. Everybody knows that they can rip down that street without any consequences that they can think of. So anyway.
I have an idea. Thank you. Can we get a hold of the county traffic engineering department and talk about speed?
Yes, I did. In fact, you asked about that last time, about whether I could check, and I did. The county has a policy of, as they say, discouraging speed bumps for a number of reasons, which they can articulate and I won't try to, but they did say that they have a program called the Neighborhood Traffic Calming Program that this might be a very good candidate for, where they actually look at individual streets and they assess what's going on and see if there are any physical changes that might be done, as well as work with the sheriff's department as well. And I'd be happy, yeah. Greg, to get you connected, and I'd be happy to facilitate that in any way.
Great, thank you,
Senator.
Yeah.
All right, thank you. Is there any other comments? Yeah.
Rob Martinson, resident. A lot of people have been asking me over the last 4 days questions for the sheriff's department. Were any citations issued and or any fines?
Fireworks. Oh,
big.
All
right. Yeah, sure.
Okay. Any other public comment? Seeing none, we'll close public comment and go into area agency report. Sheriff Department, please.
For the month of June, we have 391 calls for service in the Discovery Bay area with 38 reports in the group. Property crime seems to go down a little bit. We still had 3 residential burglaries, and we had 2 reported vehicle burglaries. 2 of the homes were left unsecured or unlocked, and 1 was forced entry to the front door. The vehicles that were items left in plain view, and that's how they got them. Obviously, they didn't break into the car if they were left in plain view. With that said, it's still not right to break into the car, but that's what was reported to us. Concerns, I think I'll just ballpark what I tell people, especially for traffic issues on certain streets and stuff. Donnie will be up here in a second with his report, and you can address that with him, because that's his primary role out here. But I always tell people time frames, days of the week, and what I mean by time frames, I don't mean all day. It's hard to put somebody out there all day. Narrow down if you can. If it's that much of a problem, it's usually a couple hours in the morning, maybe in the afternoon, certain days of the week, or whatever the case may be on that aspect. If you can present that and notify California or CHP, they'll have something more they can work with it. Because I know he has a team of guys that go out and hit areas like that, especially if you can narrow down the time frame and days of the week. Our lieutenant for the Sheriff's Department has been, I don't know if you noticed, but we have been out here a little bit more active, trying to do more traffic, and we're doing the best we can that we can do as a Sheriff's Department staff. Like I said, the Sheriff's Department, we don't have radars in the car because that's not our primary role. Our primary role is more of the other issues, such as domestics and property crimes and stuff like that. Somebody mentioned fireworks. For the 4th of July, it was a bad night for us. We were extremely busy. We had the 2 resident deputies, of course. We had the beat officer, we had the sergeants. But at the same time that all these fireworks went off, we also had fires that were all over the place that were heading that we had to kind of assist with. Not to mention, we had 2 hikers that were also reported missing that we had to deal with because that's a higher priority, with 2 people missing over at the reservoir. There's only so much we can do. And just a side note, for fireworks, it has to be seen by the officer. The officer has to actually see the person light. I understand you're frustrated how you think we feel, because we get the complaints from you guys and we can't do anything about it because it's not legal for us to act. Now, what you can do, if you're that, you can do a citizen's arrest. Now, a citizen's arrest is you tell the deputy, I saw him bend down and lit that firecracker. I want him arrested for citizen's arrest, deputy. So now you're going to have to go with the deputy to him and tell him that he's under arrest for citizen's arrest, sign the form, and the officer can sign it.
I like that. Thank
you. You like that. That's what you can do.
And okay. Can you take a video or 2 of them doing it?
If you got video, that's fine. But just be aware, you've taken ownership of that arrest. Now, he has legal action against you if you are wrong or whatever the case may be. Just be advised of that. Okay? But that's one way that you can solve this issue. Unfortunately, the laws are written a certain way, and the deputies cannot act above and beyond what the laws are written. Okay? We can't. It's just that simple.
Can't we put a sheriff's boat out there in one of the bays and just sit there? They could watch them go right along and just sit in the boat and watch everybody play M90s. I mean, my house was rattled.
Right.
The whole sky lit up. And the firecrackers, they're bombs.
Marine Patrol, they have a limited amount of deputies and they got to go from Richmond all the way back home. So then what your issues are here, take things over there. I'm not making excuses, I'm just trying to tell you, you got 2 deputies tied up in one boat that has to patrol, basically.
If maybe you go 1 day a year, it would stop them. I mean, I've been 15 years, but it's every year the same thing.
We appreciate the comment. We're going to have to keep moving. Is there any other update?
Other than that, that's what I see for what we're doing with this. Is there any other particular concerns that I have mentioned, or you guys, the birds you guys mentioned?
I think you got it.
Okay. All right, guys.
Thanks. Thanks, Tony.
CHP, please.
All right.
You're incognito tonight.
It's a secret.
Hello, Board Members. Officer Thomas with the California High Control. The stats that we had for last month, the month of June, was we had 7 DUI arrests out here. We had 1 arrest for a hit and run, which was someone injured himself on it. For the citations issue, a total of them, we have 57 citations issued. 38 of them were PCF violations, which are the collision factors, stop sign speed, things such as that. And then 29, which are other, like seatbelt registration, equipment violations, and stuff like that. Good job, got the comment on Discovery Point out there. I'll pass that along. Pretty much tomorrow's on board, and then I'm going to be gone for the rest of the month in Ohio. We're getting deployed a few of us to Ohio for that RNC convention. So I'll be out of the loop, but I'm going to pass it on to the afternoon guy that works swing shifts out here, Officer Taylor. He's real good at getting some issues, and he'll come out again and try to get to some of the problems. The day shift and the graveyard shift, not so much. And then some of the speeding issues. Who was bringing up about speed issues, maybe trying to get some teams in, something like that? Did someone make a comment about that?
I think they already left.
They already left? Okay. I got a team together. I know a lot of the issues was commercial truck traffic in the area. This morning I got a team together last week, and we came out this morning. Started about 7 in the morning. We're out here until about noon. Commercial enforcement.
Yeah.
So we came out here, and we're just basically trying to educate trucks, hitting them for any violations that we saw and stuff. So we set up in a couple random spots. I went by Florida, about Marsh Creek, kind of moved around a little bit. I was kind of on Marsh Creek right over here and stuff. But it made a lot of people nervous, and a lot of trucks.
I've never seen that before. Like that. You know,
so, you know, you do that. And then when I come back, I'll try to get another team or out here, maybe a few officers, and saturate the area on some of the commute times. And maybe in the morning, try to break it up and come out maybe in the afternoon or something like that, see if that goes off. So, but anything, you know, guys, keep calling. If you have issues, definitely call in. Pass that information on to us so we can get kind of time frames so I can talk about it. So, you guys have anything else?
No.
Okay. So, if you have any questions, I'm in the back rather than go outside. Okay.
Thank you, officer.
Thanks. Thank you.
East County Fire, do you have a representative this evening?
He's not available tonight, and he's going to come to your next meeting.
Okay.
And we haven't met yet this month because of the holiday, so the meeting's next Monday.
Supervisor Mary Pico's office.
And Alicia Nichols from Supervisor Pico's office is unavailable. She's meeting elsewhere in the county, but wanted to ensure that the P6 meeting date was announced, and it's in this room on Wednesday, July 13th at 6 p.m.
All right, thank you. Do we have any committee and liaison reports? Code enforcement planning?
Code enforcement met on the 30th of June. There was a bunch in Discovery Bay. There was some issues over on Drake's Drive with abandoned vehicles and so forth. And the code enforcement is working with the property.
Thank you. With that, we'll move on to the consent calendar. Do I hear a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Business and action item F1. We're going to hold a public hearing on proposed ordinance of number 2016-27 and turn that over to staff.
Thank you very much, members of the board. As you know, the State Water Board adopted new regulations on May 18th, which substitutes locally developed conservation standards in lieu of a state mandate, and eliminated the requirements that local agencies prohibit the water of landscaping. And so we are adding this ordinance on your agenda that keeps in place all of the remaining conservation standards, but does do that one change of eliminating the restriction that landscaping may only be watered 2 days a week. I'd like to note for you that there's a second item that's in this recommendation, and when this item went to you last time, it was our recommendation that you establish a 15 or 20% conservation standard, and the action of the board was to accept staff's recommendation of between a 15 and 20, and we think that it's helpful for the public to have one single number and a clarified number, so it's our recommendation as well that you affirm that it is a 20% conservation standard for the community. So our recommendations are that you open the public hearing on proposed ordinance amending its entirety, ordinance 25, accept any public comments, close the hearing, waive reading, and adopt the ordinance with adopted related CEQA findings, which I prepared. And as a second item, affirm that it is a 20% voluntary conservation standard for the district.
Okay, at this time I'd open a public hearing. Do we have any public comments? Seeing none, we'll close the public hearing and waive the reading.
Waiving of the reading requires a motion, a second, and you can do that in all one action. Motion to waive the second reading and adopt ordinance number 2016-27 could be your motion.
I make the motion.
Second. The move is seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Motion carries. Go on to F2. Consider the approval of annual assessment. Staff.
Thank you. Before we go back, can we go back to the previous one? I just like your affirmation on the conservation standard. That was
yes.
Within your motion.
20%.
Thank you very much. Okay, Dina, you ready for item next item?
At the previous board meeting, board of directors approved for engineering to do our annual assessment. So, 9 landscape district. Along with myself and Code Engineering, we completed the report, which we provide for you today. The factors leading to the increase that I have shown are, it's a 3.1 increase of the assessment. Last year, it was $606.94. This year, we're going to increase that about $18.84. What we're trying to do this year is match the operating budget, along with keeping 1.3 years of funds in reserve accounts. I was giving the option up to the board of directors to do the increase, or we can keep it the same as last year. If we do keep the funds the same as last year, the assessment, then we would be expending about $3,825 out of our reserve account. So that's the report. I'm the board of directors for your question.
Okay. It should have been attached to
that. Do we have any public comment? We're going to bring it back to the board. Any comment, suggestion, motion?
I will make the motion to approve the annual. You have any comment?
Nope.
We approve the annual assessment for the Ravenswood Improvement District, DB Lighting and Landscape Zone 9 for fiscal year 2016-17, accept the engineer's report and adopt resolution 2016-09 and set public hearing for July 20th. Is that what we worked on?
Staff recommendation, yes.
Yes, and I'll second that.
Okay. All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Okay, F3, consider approval of notice of completion for Lift Station G. Staff.
Thank you, and that item is in front of you. Lift Station G has been completed, and this is a recommendation to issue a notice of completion and release all the retention for the lift station to Koch & Koch, who was the district's contractor, and the budget breakdown has been included for background information for you.
Any public comment on lift station G? Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the board. Do we hear a motion?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. F4, adoption of resolution 2016-13, fire hydrant policy. Staff, please.
Thank you, and Dina will be making this recommendation.
On June 1st, 2016, staff provided the board of directors a proposed fire hydrant policy. That policy was developed to protect the public water supply in the town of Discovery Bay from contamination theft in regards to almost 560 hydrants. The policy was brought to the board of directors in accordance with ordinance number 7, dated January 17th of 2001. The hydrants could be used for other purposes. We approved that policy, and staff then came back to recommend some fees. The fees that I have before you are for two types of hydrants. One is the mobile hydrant meter rental and penalty fee, and the second is the fixed hydrant meter fee. The the mobile hybrid rental fee and penalty fee cover staff time and the cost of the entire hybrid. The fixed hybrid meter fee covers staff time, application fee, and a depreciation of a very costly hybrid meter that we will be keeping at the fire hydrant, the firehouse location. So, looking to the board of directors to either recommend or change any of these fees or to leave.
Is there any public comment on our fire hydrant? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the board. Any discussion, motion?
I would move staff recommendation for the mobile and fixed hybrid meter fees.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you. And just as an addition, the fines that were discussed prior, that requires the preparation of an ordinance, so that should come to you at your next meeting.
Thank you. Okay, F5, approval of new contract with Dual Safety. Staff.
Thank you. Beginning in July of 2014, the district contracted with a company called Dual Safety for safety training and support services at an annual cost of approximately $35,000. We have been reviewing our experience with Dual Safety and believe that training, a really broad array of training that is available through the district's risk management and insurance. It also gives us preferential rates on insurance, and that's called Target Solutions. So the training is attached. You can see there's 16 some odd pages of the variety of training that will now be available to our staff at no cost. So our recommendation is that you authorize entering into a contract with Dual Safety for a reduced amount of $6,800 on an annual basis. And the purpose of that would be, as staff goes through and they have experience with this training, they may find, and the managers may find, that some of them are better to be handled in class rather than in online training, and that gives us the opportunity to call them in for that purpose. So our recommendation is to authorize a contract in that amount.
Open the public hearing. Any public comment? Seeing none, bring it back to the board for discussion.
So we initially paid $35,000.
We were paying $2,900 a month for Dual Safety. And
as an
ongoing program, that's correct. And what we were finding is they were coming to a monthly safety meeting, and for 1 hour's attendance with us, we were getting charged $60 at about $150 an hour. We have free resources that are available to us that are broad, extensive, and provide, as I say, almost all of the training that we needed. Sue is our training coordinator, and so Sue is going to be responsible for running this program, working with managers. It's really a great program. You can assign for each individual employee which training that they need to see, and particularly during this hot weather, it's a good opportunity for staff in the very heat to get inside. We will be setting up a training location in the district office with headphones, so employees can each go there, go online, and complete their training, and all the certificates are done.
That's it, and it all complies with the discounts that we can achieve, and we achieve the goal of keeping our staff safe.
Absolutely, and in fact, we get the discounts by doing it in this manner. We did not get the discounts before, so we expect an annual savings of about $29,000.
I second that one.
All those in favor?
Aye.
I would like to commend staff for looking into that and showing us a way that we could do something better for less money. Thank you very much. Okay, manager's report. Managers.
Brian or Virgil, did you have anything else you wanted to add?
Other than the water reduction for June, you had a 24% reduction compared to 2013. And even though a lot of people have been turning on the sprinklers quite a bit, 24% is very good for June. And it was very hot, as you all know.
Thank you.
Fantastic.
Okay, the only...
Brian, you have...
Yeah, a couple comments. We're going to be moving into the firehouse, and we finally got the location. I just wanted to thank everyone who was involved in the negotiations. I thought it was going to fall apart. We started over a year ago, and it actually happened, so it's going to be real good for our organization. And another thing, we're ready to send out Phil Virgil's help. You put together the RFP for the roofing, so we'll be able to send that out to bids. Start doing some of the other projects here.
Thank you. One question on the photo that you have. There are some issues that maybe we need to take a look at there.
Oh, all of them. Yeah, we'll take care of it.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Pictures always help, too.
Thank you.
Moving into the
Parks and Recreation. Okay. At this point, any informational item?
No, but I have a number of items under general manager report for you.
All right. No presentations. Any director comments?
Yeah, on June 23rd, I attended the Byron Union School District meeting. They've got a new principal of Excelsior, Mr. Paul Gangler, with a lot of experience. They approved a $15 million budget in their accountability plan.
Thank you.
She's gone?
Okay.
Kelly's gone? Okay.
Okay, now we'll move on to the general manager's report.
Thank you. Well, the first time, if you could put back that picture again. It was a wonderful thing to see Brian with such a grin on his face today. We made him stand and pose for pictures, and he had a full smile. So that was a great thing. Staff was very excited. We are very much in appreciation. Yes, we did make him stand there for all that and smile and hold the keys, or he wouldn't get the keys.
Looks like Hugh's threatening you or something there. I'm not quite sure.
He's bigger than I am.
Just a touch.
He's smiling too because he's happy that he's going to get some income.
There you go.
So this was really good, and very, very appreciative to the fire district. And I have to say a special thank you to Rod to helping bring this over the finish line. After we went and brought the revised contract to you, it then went to the fire district's legal counsel, and there was red penning on a whole lot of things. And really, Rod did help bring this over the finish line, and I'm very much appreciative of his and all of his associates' work on this. A couple of changes that I did want to let you know. First of all, in the revised lease that I did sign, there were no changes to the basic terms that were given to you. There was no change in the lease per month, the $1,300 per month, the lease cancellation of 90 days, as well as the fact that if it could be reopened as a fire station, we would use all best efforts to get out very quickly. No changes in that. There were additions, things, for example, we are not allowed to permit a damage or a nuisance on the property, which of course we won't. We need to comply with all hazardous materials laws, which of course we will. And if there is a major damage to the fire district building, we will inform them. And so those were items that were included in that we just needed to get over. We did have to, Rod did ensure that some of the ones that were untenable were eliminated. And I would say that these are details and doesn't change the fundamentals. So we received the keys today, all signed. Brian's going to start moving in over the next couple of days. Staff is thrilled, and the fire district was unexpected, the fact that they did clean it up and remove everything. So it's going to be a great workspace, particularly during the hot weather. We will be able to pretty much immediately eliminate the lease of the Hoffman storage. We're going to be consolidating four locations in one. And staff, I think we estimated saving maybe 30, 45 minutes in the morning, adding to more work that can be actually done in the field. So great win all around. Next thing, I've set out on your tables the annual conference for CSDA, which is October 10th through October 13th. If you could let me know, we're going to put the authorization on the next agenda, but the faster that you could get the information to us, if you're interested in attending, hotel rooms get booked up fairly quickly. And there's preferential rates for going earlier. So if you could check your calendars and let us know, and we'll make reservations for you. Water conservation, as Virgil noted, our water conservation numbers, we still are at 24, which is a good, not the 26 or 30 that we were, but a 24 is a nice solid number. Lastly, we just received today, as you know, maybe 3 or 4 months ago, I updated you on the groundwater basin work that we are doing in compliance with the new laws, and the fact that our district, along with all of the other East County agencies involved in groundwater basin management, we're submitting a request to the Department of Water Resources for a sub-basin so that we can work out these issues amongst ourselves rather than working with a multitude of counties. Unfortunately, that was rejected today. We received the notice today that that was rejected. We believe it was rejected on technical grounds, and we think there's a way through it. The basis of the rejection was that we did not include the approvals from the individual water companies, and some of those are very, very small. There's probably 35 very small water companies, and the state has said that it requires a 75% approval. So, of those. So, I'm going to accompany as Ludorf and Scalamini, as well as a couple of other reps from the area, and meet with the state on this issue, see if we can come to an agreement and move forward. The next date for submittal is January, but we're going to see in the next 30, 45 days if we can get a cooperative plan in place with the state, so that we are able to move forward in a sub-basin manner, which I think will serve the interest of the district much better. And that concludes my report, other than a notation, and thank you all. And thank you to Sue for her hard work that we did receive the Special District's Leadership Foundation Transparency Certificate of Excellence. And that took a lot of, I'd say an enormous amount of effort from Sue to put together a binder that was about that thick, as well as extra training on the part of the board. And I appreciate all your time in doing that. And lastly, a note that Senate Bill 885, which the district took a position of opposition, has been pulled off the Senate Judiciary Committee at this point. It doesn't expect to be brought back this year, but may rear its ugly head next session. And that concludes my report.
Thanks. I too would like to commend staff for all the hard work on our transparency program. With that, District Lead.
Nothing from legal.
The subcommittee updates, none. Correspondence, letter.
Could we ask Chief Henderson to comment on that letter when he comes to the next board meeting?
We will.
Make sure you put that on there. The Chief Henderson.
Can we have a motion to adjourn?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
We are adjourned.